The Mountain of Love, written by Barbara Cartland, narrated by Anthony Wren. Chapter 1, 1882.
"You are top of the class," the Greek master enthused, smiling. "I congratulate you."
He was addressing Kayla Ford, his best and most attentive pupil.
"I am so glad," Kayla responded. "I love Greece, and cannot read too much about the country."
"Have you ever been there?" the master inquired.
"I went there with my father when I was only 6, but I remember it so vividly, and I believe the beauty of Delphi is engraved permanently on my heart."
He clasped his hands together.
"Well, that is exactly how you should feel," he cried, "and what the Greeks feel themselves."
Kayla picked up her books and left the schoolroom. The master had called her back as the other pupils were leaving when the lesson ended. Kayla had found that the men and women who taught languages were more interesting to her than anyone else at the convent. She was very well aware of why her mother had sent her there. It was because the Holy Convent of Santa Maria Magdalena in Florence was renowned as the best finishing school for young ladies in the whole of Europe. Aristocrats from every country sent their daughters there, and their brains were polished and honed before they appeared as debutantes in society. Kayla's mother had been determined that she should have the very best, and Kayla had in fact expostulated before she went there.
"It will cost too much, Mama, and we really can't afford it."
"Nothing is too much for you to have a really good education, my darling Kayla," her mother replied fervently. Because she was so positive that this convent was where Kayla must go, they did not argue any further. At the same time, Kayla was fully aware that since her father's death, they had had to count every penny. Except in their case, it was not the pence they counted, as they were living in France, but every single centime. Kayla had had a very strange and unusual childhood. Her father, Lord Alastair Ford, was the second son of the Duke of Barningford. He was very different from his elder brother, the Earl of Barn, and his younger brother, Lord David Ford. They were a very English family, and so enjoyed the sports that were available on their father's various estates. Their huge ancestral home in the rural county of Nottinghamshire provided them with the endless partridge and pheasant shooting the boys always enjoyed. There were also cricket matches in the summer, in which all three brothers participated. At the castle in Scotland, there was salmon fishing and grouse shooting, and all through the summer there were the horses that ran under the Duke's colours at Newmarket, Epsom and Ascot. For some reason that no one in the family could understand, Lord Alastair was a talented artist. Even when he was small, he appreciated the beautiful pictures in his home, and as soon as he could hold a pencil, he drew the flowers in the garden, the blossom on the trees, and the carp swimming in the lake. It was an interest his brothers teased him about and his father despised. When he was old enough to do what he wanted, he spent a great deal of time in the art galleries of London, and he seldom missed an exhibition. It was inevitable that he should be drawn to France. The modern trends in art in Paris at that time were laughed at scornfully, and most people preferred their art to be ultra-conventional. But the Impressionists, as they were called, attracted Lord Alastair just like a bee to a honeypot, and he was soon spending more of his time in Montmartre than he did at home. The Duke merely shrugged his shoulders. He did not think about Alastair more than he could help, and he had plenty to occupy his mind in running his vast estates. His heir, the Earl of Barn, was considering marriage, because it was essential for him to produce a son and heir. Then, like a bombshell, Alastair announced that he was intending to marry a woman he had met in Paris. That she was unknown to the family and obviously not accepted in the social world that the Duke moved in was bad enough. But when he learned that she was a singer, the Duke flew into a furious rage. He sent for Alastair immediately, and he came back from Paris reluctantly. When he arrived at Ford Hall, he was aware, as he entered the front door, that he was walking into a lion.